Hey, y'all, today we're actually going to interact, if you will. We're going to interact with two pictures of God's love. And prayerfully, we're going to come away today with a greater understanding of just what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. So with that being said, I'm diving right in, y'all. First picture, a picture of the blood. Now, in the third book of the Bible, the book of Leviticus, the Lord is speaking to Moses 1,500 years before the birth of Christ. Okay? So this prophecy goes like this in Leviticus 17 and verse 11. God says to Moses, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls." Now, to understand what atonement is, I like to say it's at-one-ment. God and us coming together at one. Atonement. Remember that name. Atonement, to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement for your souls. So in this picture of blood, what you need to know is this. Without the blood, there is no life in our physical bodies. Right? Likewise, without blood, there's also no life in our spiritual bodies. Someone once said, if you cut the Bible anywhere, it will bleed. It will bleed. See, blood flows through the Bible just like blood flows through your veins. In fact, 427 times the Bible mentions blood. So the blood is very significant in the scriptures. Without blood, the gospel of Jesus Christ is dead. And if the gospel of Jesus Christ is dead, that means that you and me are ultimately deprived from any hope of eternal life. It's all through the blood. In one translation of Matthew chapter 26, Jesus said, "For this is my blood, sealing the new covenant between God and his people. It is poured out to forgive the sins of many." Paul explained it this way, saying that God has purchased our freedom with his blood and has forgiven all of our sins. Peter added, "We are not purchased with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ." John agreed with Peter and with Paul, and he wrote that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Friend, are you beginning to get the picture? Are you beginning to understand how incredibly important the blood is to the spiritual life? It's so important that you and I see the importance of the blood of Jesus Christ on our Christian lives. But listen to me carefully. If you're listening, say amen. Amen. As important as it is that you see the importance of the blood, it's more important that God sees the blood applied to your life. Because if God is looking at anything other than the blood of his Son, that means he's seeing your sins. And that means eternal judgment. So let's begin today by examining the blood of Christ, by doing so under a microscope, if you will, so that we can get a complete picture, so that we can get a more complete picture of the blood of God's Son. First of all, when we examine the blood of Christ, we find that the blood of Christ is perfect. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, Paul said this. He said, "For God made Jesus to be sin for us. He who knew no sin, so that you and I might become the righteousness of God in him." You see, my natural daddy, William R. Barlow the First, old dad did me a big favor. When I was born, dad imparted Adam's sin nature onto me. And even dad's death a couple of months ago could never, ever have saved me. But since Jesus was born of a virgin, since Jesus had no natural father, therefore he had no original sin. You following me? He had no original sin that was passed on to him. The sins of Adam that come from the bloodline of man did not come up and were not passed on to baby Jesus. So, everything about Christ was perfect, including and especially his blood. But upon examination of the blood of Christ, we find that it's also pure. One reason that we use grape juice instead of wine in the Lord's Supper is because wine has to go through a fermentation process. Fermentation is basically the bacteria working to degrade the juice, right? So that is actually a rotting process, right? Tearing that wine down, right? It's a rotting process. And so then wine could never have been a proper picture of the blood of Christ that gives life, not degradation. But pure grape juice, on the other hand, pure grape juice is an accurate picture because the juice, like the blood of Jesus, this juice is pure. It came straight from grapes, right? Just like bread without leaven, bread without yeast is a good picture of the body of Christ. Grape juice is a very accurate picture of the blood of Christ. As John explained it, he said the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sins. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Wow. Listen, y'all. It cost God plenty. It cost God plenty to offer me and to offer you a way out of a dead-end life. It cost a lot. See, you are not redeemed with corruptible things. You are redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And because Jesus' blood was pure, it can also purify you. Because the blood of Christ is perfect, because it's pure, we also can examine the blood of Christ and recognize that it's permanent. The Bible tells us that unlike Old Testament priests, our great high priest, Jesus, doesn't have to offer sacrifices day after day after day, year after year after year, first for his own sins and then for our sins. No, Jesus ain't got no sins, right? And so he offered up himself once. He offered up himself once on that cross. Once and for all, he offered himself up as a sacrifice for every human being who would ever live. The Bible states that this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. friend, through faith in him, we are afforded this incredible gift. We are afforded this gift of eternal life in heaven forever, that's permanent, because he purchased it with his permanent blood. Now, as I was thinking about that theme, the word acquit came to my mind. The word acquit means to remove blame. This acquittal that Jesus provides removes all of the blame from my past, and it removes all the blame from my future. I'm acquitted through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, you may not have believed that justice was done in the case of O.J. Simpson. But I want you to know something. He was acquitted of that murder. You remember what the attorney said? If the glove don't fit, you must acquit. And here's the kicker. That case can never be reopened again. He's been acquitted permanently. The case can never be reopened. Nothing can ever be presented again to him in that particular case. In fact, listen to this. Even new evidence cannot be presented in that case ever again. Listen, you and I, we guilty and we know it, don't we? Somebody say amen. Amen. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You and I are guilty and we know it, don't we? Every one of us. But the Bible teaches this. When you and I place our faith and place our trust in the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us, listen, we are acquitted permanently. We are acquitted permanently. Acquitted permanently. And here's the kicker. Not even any new evidence in your life can be presented in your case again. You've been acquitted by the blood of Jesus Christ. So whether it be things that you ought to be doing that you ain't doing, or it's things that you are doing that you ain't got no business doing, Jesus' blood completely covers our sins. This perfect, this pure and permanent blood of Jesus Christ is what we are remembering this morning. This is what we are remembering this morning. And really, this is a picture. It's a picture of God's love. In front of you, you'll find a little cup like this. If you would, pick that up. And what I want you to do is very carefully peel that top edge off of that juice. Be careful, because we don't want it to spill on your pretty clothes. And when you've got it open, just lift it up so I can see that you're with me. Here we go. Okay. I'm going to pray a prayer of thanks, just thanking the Lord for the symbol of his blood. And then I'm going to share what Jesus said to his disciples when he instructed them to partake of it. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us this perfect, incredible symbol of your blood. Lord, we remember that your blood is perfect, that your blood is pure, and that your blood is permanent, and no evidence can be placed against us, because all of our faith, all of our trust is in your precious blood that cleanses us from all of our sins. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. In your name we pray, amen. Now in Matthew chapter 26, and verse 27, Jesus said, then that he took the cup and gave thanks as we just did, and gave it to the disciples, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins, or for the forgiveness of sins. Let's partake together. Friend, are you starting to get the picture? Are you getting the picture of the precious blood of Jesus? Are you seeing the power in the precious blood of Jesus? And more importantly, listen to me. More importantly, is God seeing the precious blood instead of you? Because if he's not seeing the blood, you know what he's seeing? He's seeing your sin. And if he's seeing your sin, you got a problem. He needs to be able to look down and see that your sins have been covered with the blood of Jesus. So make sure you're covered. And listen, the good news is this. Only one application is all that counts. One application matters. Just make sure that it's in the blood. Amen. Now, second picture. Second picture is this picture of bread. We're going to go into John chapter 6 and spend some time there. And John chapter 6 is where the Bible tells us about the feeding of the 5,000. And in verse 30, the people were asking for a sign from Jesus. And they said this, they said to Jesus, "Our fathers ate manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." And then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you this bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And then they said to Jesus, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst." Friends, human bodies can process all kinds of food. No matter what kind of taste you have, the foods that you eat are digested and they are assimilated into your flesh, into your bones, into your body. They become a part of who you are. You following me? So if you can only have one food, can I tell you that bread should be your choice? Because bread is often called the staff of life. And it's called the staff of life because it contains almost all the nutrition that a human body needs. Jesus talked a lot about the bread. He talked a lot about the bread of life. And so I want to take some time here to look again at under the microscope. And I want you to see three features of the bread of life. First of all, the bread of life is heavenly bread. In verse 32, Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And then in verse 50, Jesus said, "This is the bread which comes down" where? "From heaven." "From heaven, that one may eat of it and not die." This bread is heavenly bread. Now, we all know about bread. You may have had some toast this morning, right? I know that Miss Frances makes these cute little loaves of homemade bread. And it's delicious, amen? Some of y'all make sourdough bread. Maybe you've been up to the Amish country and had some Amish bread. I, for one, I love sandwiches, but I can't make a sandwich without bread, right? These people that Jesus was talking to, they should have understood what he was talking about. They should have understood about this heavenly bread because their forefathers had received manna from heaven. There in verse 31, he said, "Our fathers ate manna in the desert, and it's written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." They should have known about this bread. And think about it. This narrative about the manna, oh man, I bet it was repeated over and over and over about how their forefathers existed on this exclusive diet of manna from heaven. And man, I bet you they had to prepare it all kinds of ways. Think about it. They probably had baked manna, fried manna, boiled manna, pickled manna. Man, I bet you they had manna on the half shell. Amen. I bet you they had manna for dessert. They had pineapple upside down manna. Amen. And I bet you they had the ever popular banana manna. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Right? Well, listen, back in verse 4 of the banana manna, that's right. Back in verse 4 of chapter 6, Jesus fed earthly bread to over 5,000 men, which was probably more like 20,000 people, right? And through that miracle, he was trying to teach them that the bread of life is the bread of heaven, that it was him. But they just would not get it. More importantly today is, listen, look at me. Do you get it? Do you get that the bread of life is he who came down from heaven to give life to you? Earthly bread says this. Earthly bread says, be baptized and you'll be saved. Earthly bread says, join a church and you'll be saved. Earthly bread says, oh, do a lot of good works, you'll be saved. Earthly bread says, change your life and you can be saved. But listen to what eternal heavenly bread says. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Somebody say amen. The bread of life is heavenly bread because, you see, the bread of life is Jesus. It's Jesus. Jesus said in verse 35, he said, I am the bread of life. He said in verse 48, I am the bread of life. Jesus said in verse 51, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Jesus is the bread of life. And for Jesus to say that he's the bread of life, listen, y'all, it would have been absolute blasphemy unless it was true. Notice in verse 41, the people began to complain. They began to complain when Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. But our Lord said it because it's the absolute truth. I am the bread of life. Now, when he said that, it could have been easy this way. I am the bread of life and no one else is. I'm the bread of life and Muhammad is not. I'm the bread of life, Confucius is not. I'm the bread of life, Buddha is not. I'm the bread of life and no one else is. See, Jesus doesn't allow room for comparison of any other religious person. And then in verse 60, his own disciples begin to say, Jesus, these sure are hard sayings. These are hard sayings to understand. But it was only a hard saying because Jesus had not yet explained what the blood and the body was a picture of. He hadn't yet painted that picture in the Lord's Supper that we're partaking of today. To eat of his flesh and drink of his blood, listen to me, y'all. It's symbolism. It's symbolism. And it's looking forward to the Lord's Supper that we're partaking of today. Eating and drinking expresses full acceptance. When you eat a meal, or when you drink a drink, you are accepting that into your body and it is becoming a part of who you are. When Jesus says, eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, he said, eat of me, drink of me, and let me become part of who you are. Accept me into your life and let me become part of who you are. That is the picture that Jesus is sharing with us today. He's the bread of life. And all he wants you to do, y'all, is accept him and let him be that part of your life that you would never have without him. So examining the bread of life, we know that it's heavenly. It's obviously Jesus, but the bread of life also is eternal. Verse 50. Jesus said, this is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it, listen to this, and not die. That's good news, amen. Verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. That's good news right there, amen. Check it out. And then in verse 54, he says, whoever eats of my flesh and drinks of my blood, whoever accepts me as part of who he is, right? Has eternal life. Woohoo! I like the sound of that right there, right? And I will raise him up the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, my blood is drink indeed, and he who eats of my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate of the manna, even the banana manna. Because they're dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. Boy, that's good news for a lost, wretched sinner like me. Amen. What a blessing. Friends, eternal life is available to every single man, woman, and child on this planet. Did you know that? It's available to everybody. But it only comes when you receive Jesus as the bread of life. And while that manna back in the olden days had to be eaten every single day for sustenance, the bread of life is intended for a one-time meal. Amen. A one-time meal. Some folks criticize that truth and say, oh, Bill, you're saying once saved, always saved. To which I would respond, no. I just believe that when somebody is truly, truly born again and they have accepted Jesus into their lives and he is a part of who they are, God says he absolutely assures that no one is ever going to snatch anybody out of God's hand. Amen. I mean, just look at verse 39 real quickly. Verse 39. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose how much? Nothing. Take a look at verse 40. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up on that last day. Well, when you take those two verses and you put them alongside verse 54 that says, whoever eats of my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I will raise him up that last day. When you put all that together, obviously the bread of life is eternal bread. It's eternal bread, earthly bread. It gets all moldy and it decomposes. But this bread is eternal. This bread gives life not only in quality, this bread gives life in quantity. Amen. Everlasting quantity. Jesus said in verse 35, he who comes to me, he who follows me, that is, shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Amen. Why will they never hunger? Why will they never thirst? Why? Because he is eternal bread. Everlasting bread. Eternal bread. This heavenly, eternal bread, which is Jesus Christ, is what we're remembering this morning. And we're remembering it because it is a beautiful picture of God's love. Now, be careful how you take the bread out, because the remnants will pour out on you if you're not careful. But if you would, open that bottom and get that little piece of unleavened bread out from your cup and just hold that up when you've gotten it so I can see that you're with me. Amen. No stains. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Once again, I'm going to pray a prayer of thanks, praising Jesus for the body that he gave for me and for you. And then I'm going to read a one verse of scripture. We'll partake. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, during this week especially, when your servants, your disciples, your followers contemplate the brutality that was taken out on your body, when we think of every stripe that you were whipped with, when we think of the blood that was running down your face from the crown, when we think of the mocking and the slapping and the spitting upon your body, Lord, we are reminded that for you, Lord, for us, no sacrifice was too great. And Lord, I pray that when we contemplate these things this week, we remember that you did that for us personally. Lord, we thank you so much for your heavenly body. Lord, for your eternal body. And Lord, when we partake of it and accept your life into ours, Father, we too become eternal. And we too belong to you. And we praise you and thank you for that in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Let's partake together. So to wrap all this up, two little pictures. A picture of the blood and a picture of the bread. There's only one question that just screams to be asked. How can I get me some of that? How does a person receive the covering of Jesus' blood over every sin they could ever commit? How does a person receive the eternal bread that only Jesus can provide? Friend, do you have any sin in your life that needs the covering of Jesus' blood? Friend, do you have a hunger in your life? Something is missing. Do you have a hunger in your life for the bread of Christ Jesus? If so, here's your sign. This is the sign that you've been asking God for. God is speaking to you right now. He's speaking to your spirit with his spirit. And he's telling you, your part is to exercise the faith I've been given. To exercise the faith I've given you. Just take a step of faith out. Take a step of faith forward. And come and declare with your heart, acknowledge Jesus as the only Savior from your sin. And therefore the Savior of the penalty of your sin. And also in doing, acknowledge Jesus and allow him to be the Lord of your life. The covering of blood and that fulfilling meal of the bread of life is what he offers you today. Let me pray for you. Father God, I praise you and thank you that from eternity past, you saw every one of our greatest need. Lord, you saw that we had a sin cancer of which we had no cure. Father, you saw that we had a sin problem and we had no remedy. And in your great sovereign wisdom, you unfolded your plan to provide heavenly, pure, permanent blood that could cover the multitude of all of our sin. And Father, when we were walking around in emptiness, you provided the bread of life that's heavenly, the bread of life that is in fact our Savior Jesus. And Father, my heart goes out for those that don't yet know him, those that are kind of floundering around in an empty life. Lord, I pray that today, if there's any one of those that are here and they would like to receive the covering of Jesus' blood over every single sin in their life, so that no more sin could ever be presented in their case, they'd be acquitted permanently. Lord, I pray that you come and receive that gift today. Lord, don't let them walk out of here with you still viewing them in their sin. Thank you for the blood today. Lord, thank you for the bread of life that gives us not only life in quality, what a great life we have in Christ, but also a life in quantity, everlasting life, eternal life. But it only comes when we partake of the Lord Jesus and invite him and accept him to become part of who we are. Lord, let someone know him as Savior today. Let someone know him as Lord today. If they would just exercise the faith that you've given them, we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, stand with me and let's sing together.